VentureCast.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is sponsored by our good friends at Peep Show Toys.
Peep Show Toys is your go-to destination for non-toxic, body-safe toys for every pleasure, kink, and fantasy.
Whether you're exploring solo or with a partner, Peep Show Toys has something for everyone. From luxurious vibrators to tantalizing bondage gear, all prioritizing your health and safety.
Visit peepshowtoys.com and use our promo code CWDATB for 10% off your order.
What's that code again?
CWDATB for 10% off your order.
Thanks, Peep Show Toys. Yeah, when can I bring up my fetishes and kinks and stuff?
I'm just kidding. Well, this is where it becomes really important to be able to read a woman, because there's some women that are going to feel comfortable with stuff like that very early on, and there's going to be women that it may take months of dating and sometimes years to bring in certain kinks, right? Yeah. So it's case by case, it's woman by woman, and the skill that's required as the man is to be able to read them and take risks with what you bring up to see how they respond. So it might not mean that you bring up your personal kink, but it might mean that you bring up the kink in general and then see how she responds to that. If she's like, what the fuck? I think people that do that are so messed up. I find it disgusting. You'll have your answer without putting yourself on the line, if that makes sense.
Welcome, fellow leshes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Pick a prize, and
we're not giving them away.
We got to pick a prize for ourselves.
We're not giving those away. I mean, I don't know.
Do you want the tavern open before or after you speak of your mind?
Okay, open up shop,
and then we'll take a little tasty taste.
Do you think used penis pumps are available on like eBay?
Absolutely,
they probably are.
Used toys.
Well, don't buy them used. Get them from Peep Show. Cheers. Welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. We's going down under.
we always like to go downtown. Now we're going down under.
I think, anyway, she's from Australia. I think she's in Australia. So I think a first. We will be talking to somebody on another continent. Oh, no, we've talked to
other people. We've other ones, but none from Australia, which is kind of cool, which is probably one of my first crushes.
Australia was your first crush?
No.
You jerked off to Australia, the island?
Well, it doesn't if everybody?
If you put a split down the middle, it's kind of a weird shaped ass.
Oh, yeah. No, Olivia Newton-John. Oh, sorry.
She's from Australia?
Yeah.
Now she's from heaven, but...
glorious.
Too soon?
No.
She's
still beautiful.
She did good faking me out with an American accent, because... I thought she needed a man.
That's what an amazing actress she was.
Yeah. Obviously. My heart is set on you. Better shape up. Because I need a man.
You do need a man.
Well, for anybody who needs
we're going to learn tonight how you can get yourself a man.
Or a woman.
Or a man.
Yeah, right. But she's a dating coach for men. So, yeah.
But we'll have to ask, is it just women or... What if I'm a man and I want to take your course to find another man? Is that there?
Is it different to attract a man as opposed to a woman?
Good question.
I think it's very different.
I do too, but let's see what the expert says.
I know how to attract a man.
Just pull down your pants?
Well, a gay man.
And they're either going to be attracted or they're going to run away.
Yeah.
One or the other.
I mean, men are...
There's no in between.
There's breathe on us and we're attracted, right? Like, it's not difficult to... Rope us in. I've heard stories. I mean, I don't want to speak for the gay community because I'm not gay, but I do know that from what I've heard, seems like it's pretty easy to get laid in that community.
Oh, okay.
So just like it's pretty easy to get laid if you're a woman in the straight community, because all you got to do is ask.
You kind of do.
And boys will say, yes, please.
What is the island between?
Are you really searching for where this fucking place is in the middle of an episode?
Yeah, well, you asked.
You don't. We don't. We need a producer. We need to fill this producer spot. Yeah, this is embarrassing.
We're waiting for.
You don't Google during.
Google anytime I want.
This is embarrassing. Fernando will take you back. We need a producer.
Then tell us. How close? How close is the island?
How close is Tasmania from Australia?
I don't think it's very close, but I could be wrong. Maybe she knows. Well, let's ask her.
We're
going to ask her everything and anything.
Let's ask the hot Australian female.
About anything.
About geography. That's what people want.
She likes bikinis, so she likes beaches. She probably likes islands. So
she likes devils.
I'm a little devil. Well, see, that's great about the shirt. This side, he's an angel.
It's extra medium, and your tits show very nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And on the back, he's a devil.
Oh, clever.
Angel?
You can't. You're going to have to get up and spin.
I'm not showing it, but he's a devil in the back.
He's not.
I personally am an angel.
Yeah.
You little devil. You little devil.
All right. I'll start the clock so we can start from here. You little
devil.
Shit. Scrub all that. I keep waiting for somebody to understand what my shirt is, but I don't know if anybody ever will. And if they are, and it's a hot female, I might marry her.
Wow. Sorry, Leah.
No, Leah knows what this shirt is, so that's why I married
her. Look at that. Boom.
Yeah.
It was all nothing there until she knew what the shirt was.
Yeah.
Something to do with a wrapper, right?
Oh, God. No, it's not. In the comments, all I wanted was a Pepsi. What song? What band? I will send you...
P. Diddy.
No. No.
Because if you don't get him a Pepsi, you can't leave his...
P. Diddy wanted more than a Pepsi, apparently. I don't know. I haven't heard any of the story. I heard P. Diddy got in trouble. I honestly thought he was already in trouble. I thought there was already...
Yeah, the intel of his being...
So he's another R. Kelly? You just kept him around and peed on him and shit? Or
I
allegedly...
I wasn't there.
That's why you say allegedly.
Well, no, there's no allegedly I wasn't there. I wasn't there.
So right, but so tell me the story. What is P. Diddy accused of?
Sex ring.
Sex
ring. And having people... what was the name of their party? He used to have his party that it was called... just heard it too.
Just make it up.
It was a party, extra crunk party that they did.
Yeah.
And people will say, yep, when we heard that that's happening after hours, we left because things got crazy.
There's
a lot of talk of little boys that were in these parties.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't.
And Usher and Justin Bieber were brought up through it and they're deny it. But yes, I don't know. I don't know. Allegedly.
For sure.
Usher. Stayed with him for a while.
Wait, I didn't
lived with him for a while.
Usher lived with P. Did. God, fucking Biggie Smalls is, well, he's not rolling over in his grave. He's too fat, but
P. Diddy trying. Camp. Pity Camp? I don't know, something like that. It was called, and he would groom little boys.
Why the fuck do we keep hearing these stories? Why does this keep happening?
They're saying it's as big as Epstein's.
Oh, did he have his own island?
I don't know.
Did Bill Clinton and Donald Trump go?
Everybody went in the musical world.
Everybody record producers. In the musical world. Shit. If we start finding out like
artists, actors, I would imagine there are some there.
I could care less that politicians went to Epstein's Island. I knew they were dirty fucking.
All went.
But if I start finding out fucking rock stars were doing the same thing and it's rock stars, that's really going to fuck with my balance.
It is. It is, isn't it?
That will really.
So you never looked at the list that was published unofficially.
I told you I heard Diddy got in trouble. I didn't know what it was.
No. I'm talking Epstein list.
Oh, no.
There's a lot. There's some bunch of names on there that. Yeah, I know what you mean. You're like, I don't want him to be on there.
Well, just because you went to, I mean, how many times did you go to the island? If you went once and you got there and you went, oh, fuck.
See, now, I know Chris Tucker came out and said, yeah, I'm going to be on the list. I flew with him. We never went to his island. We went here. We went there.
Oh.
I didn't know anything was going on. He just came out and said, yeah.
Yeah, well.
So, is he covering his ass or?
Well, we'll never know. Unless
we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean.
But he embraced it and moved on.
Believe me, nobody's going to come out if they were on the Epstein list. Nobody is going to come out and go, oh, yeah, I was there. I fucked some little boys.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not going
to continue to. Yep, let's bury that one.
Let's bury
that sucker.
And most of them will get away with it. Most of them.
Well, as of right now, all of them have.
Except for Epstein.
Well, it's his island.
Yeah, except for him.
I mean, he...
He got murdered in prison. Allegedly.
Suicide.
He got suicided in prison. Allegedly.
He said, look at that. I'm going to do it now. I see that the red light in the camera is off. Weird. I'm going to do it now.
Well, that's when I would do it. I mean,
I don't disagree.
I assume this was a one of those belt around the door handle, dick in your hand suicides, not a
something.
Yeah. I love it. I love how we do these intros to our poor guests. And then they're like, oh, sorry. And then we come on and we're like, hi, how are you? And they think we just started and we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
We got
we'll cut
deep.
That.
That's all right. We'll get rid of that since we're not going to talk about.
So did Epstein.
Even deep in. Anyway, before we get too deep with that bullshit, let's get back to some fun. Because in fun, you want to share, you want to like, and you want to subscribe and send us comments. That's fun. Comment on a shirt. Comment on.
I will give you a shirt if you know what this shirt is. I think I offered that once before.
Just got a comment. Let's go. And let's not creep. Well, we are kind of creepy.
We're creepy.
We're going to creep on, but let's not keep.
I got it.
Pretty lady waiting as we creep on her.
I got it circled right here. She's going to teach us how not to be creeps.
Yes.
So
I got to change everything I know.
At least you know that, though.
I embrace it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. So without further ado, Sarah Chavons. Hello.
Absolutely. Let's go right into it.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
Amazing. How are you guys going? Look at this setup. I want to be there right now.
I doubt it. It is literally snowing outside the window on April 1st. You do not want to be here.
Well, it's very sunny here in Sydney, so it's complete opposites.
First question.
There we go.
Okay, so you are in Australia.
I am.
Okay, what time and day is it right now?
It is Tuesday, the 2nd of April at 10:30 a.m.
Oh shit.
Wow.
So your day is just getting going and we're on our way out.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Well, or is that an April Fool's joke? Because it's
no, it's over there.
You're done.
No, I promise. Yeah, I'm in the future. I am coming to you live from the future.
I know. That's what I love about this.
This is
we've
great.
Never talked to anybody from Australia, so we've never
or the future.
No, right. I don't think we've ever gone far enough.
Have you guys been to Australia?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
So now you have to convince us to visit.
What is it? What's on your t-shirt? Is that a little Tassie devil?
Yes, it is.
Well, they come from Tasmania in Australia. It'd be rude not to visit where they're from. There was recently some drama, apparently, with whoever owns the rights to the Tassie devil, because there's a new Australian rules football team that wants to launch from Tasmania. And then they went through this whole thing with the US about the Tassie devil and who owns the rights to it.
Mm.
But it's okay. An actual animal that's from Tasmania. So I think they won it over, or the company was like, yeah, you can use the name Tassie Devils.
That's fantastic. Now we were talking.
That's exactly why I wore this shirt tonight.
No, stop it. We were talking about this before we came on, and he's like, I wore this shirt for the show, and I'm like, oh, because Tasmania, it's near Australia. He's like, no, there's a devil on the back. I'm like, you know, it's near Australia. Right? No.
Hey, I like it.
So, how close are you to Tasmania?
Tasmania is. Do you know what? I have to admit, I've actually never been there. It's the bottom. It's down from Melbourne, like, you know, a couple of hours flight.
Okay.
Over the ocean. So it's not connected, but it's there, you know.
Yeah, it's an island.
It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. So before we go any further, can we introduce her?
Yeah.
Sarah, and I'm going to get it. Chavons. Is that how we pronounce it?
Oh, I like the way you say that. Yes.
Perfect. All that practice paid off.
Right, right. My Wisconsin accent is just turning her on. I love it. What is the hottest accent, first of all?
American or?
No, any accent.
What is the hottest accent?
It's not.
You know, there's lots, different kinds of American accents that I feel, you know, there's ones that are like, oh, like, where is it? Not Kentucky. Maybe it is Kentucky.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was going to ask. So is there a, he was asking throughout the world, but in the States, there's what's sexy, what's not sexy in the state.
Who's like Matthew McConaughey? Is he from Kentucky originally?
Texas. He's Texas. Yeah.
Texas. Well, yeah, I don't know this, whether it's Kentucky or I mean, I love Texas. I must admit, like, I love Dallas, Austin, Houston, love barbecue. Anyway, I'm getting distracted, but I think it's Kentucky. It's like that slow kind of, like, it's real cool. It's got some swagger to it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you say McConaughey in the Texas accent, I'm going to say, I think it has more with McConaughey to do with McConaughey than the accent.
I don't know, but I met someone recently when I was in Miami and he was from Kentucky and he spoke slowly and, like, he's got this cool, and I'm like, damn. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if I have a favorite accent. I really don't know if I could answer that, like, throughout the world. It's really, really tricky. I actually don't mind the South African accent.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Because obviously we find the Australian accent sexy. I mean, you know, so, and I'm like, I just can't see this accent, but we hear it every day. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you're used to it. Whereas I love American accents because I didn't grow up with American accents. Right. And you see in the movies all the time. So you're kind of like, whoa, it just sounds so different. So you're really curious and attracted to it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, Sarah Chavon's dating coach for men.
In Sydney,
but helping the world. How did you get started in coaching men to date? Because let's face it, we all need it.
Wow.
Well, I got started in Los Angeles is where my journey began. And I was over there just on a bit of a holiday, and, you know, there's a lot of networking to be done in LA. Some people love it, some people hate it. There's definitely some bullshit artists throughout the mix, but there's also some great opportunities to be had if you know how to sift through the bullshit. And I was, you know, lucky enough to meet somebody at the time who ran this company, and it was a pickup company called Real Social Dynamics, and it taught men how to pick up women. And I was very curious, being a woman, like, what? You teach what? Yeah. Okay. And so I found out that these guys were written about in a book, which I think is over 20 years old now, called The Game by Neil Strauss.
Oh, and sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know the book?
Yeah.
Heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, so the CEO of this pickup company, he said, hey, you know, I've got this world tour that I'm about to go on. Would you help me out with it? Oh. And I mean, I just met this guy at a party. I'm like, yeah, why not? You know, I was 21 at the time. What a great opportunity. I get to travel around the whole world and, you know, seminars and, you know, help men develop their confidence with women. Sure. So it was like a no-brainer for me at that point in my life. And I didn't expect the adventure, I guess, I had that followed, but it was 2 years of straight, just back-to-back seminars, workshops for men. And I started off by just assisting. So I assisted Nick Coe at the time, who was running them. And eventually he said, Sarah, you can just run them. And that's when I became an executive coach. I was, you know, doing their sales, selling from stage, and then taking these guys out and taking them through workshops and going out to the streets and bars and clubs and helping them approach women.
Really?
So you learned by going into the fire.
I went into the fire. Yeah, it was like real guerrilla mode. Like, I was up there with them, like holding the guys' hands, like, you know, being there as they would make out with women. Like, it was full on.
Hold on. That was the course? Did you like, as a person signing up for the course, I assume I would sit in the classroom and listen to you, but then it would be like, field trip time, let's go to the bar.
Exactly. You're spot on. Yeah. It's just as wild as it sounds. It's kind of like, honestly, the only thing you can compare it to is the movie Hitch by Will Smith.
Yeah.
It's like that.
And yeah, there's different levels to it, obviously. Like, you know, some groups, you'd have small groups. Like in Norway, I had a group that was only small. It was 12 people. So some of the sessions, you had over 1,000 people at these seminars in like Miami and Vegas. I think the biggest one that we did was in Miami. I think we had about 25 students that went out. So I had three assistants with me. And we had different groups and would go to different venues, and then we'd come back together and we would have a debrief at the end of the night and talk about what went well, what opportunities have arisen, and then make a game plan for how they're going to work on those skills moving forward. So it was pretty cool. Like, it sounds so wild when we actually talk about it, but where else do you go to actually learn this? Like, you're not going to learn this at school. You're only going to be able to learn these kind of social skills and dating skills from your peers, or you like the people that you observe or things you watch on TV. So it was pretty cool. It blew my socks off when I got involved in it.
Did you have the bars set up that they knew you were coming in and do this, or just showed up cold turkey?
Cold turkey.
Wow.
Okay.
Incognito. Like, no one knew that we were on this field trip or boot camp, as we called them.
Were you there observing and taking notes?
Didn't have a notepad, but I was always observing. I think that would look funny notes. If I was sitting in the club with my notepad going, I didn't like the way you did that. She closed her body off. But that would be funny.
Why not?
Just use the drone footage later. You got all the video cameras in there. You're good. You watch it later.
Well, that was a controversial part of this job, and I'm so glad that we stopped doing it. But I actually would film what they called in-field footage. Okay. And a lot of the time, people wouldn't know that you're filming. So, you know, the whole, like, idea, I think, was really big on YouTube, is they would get this footage of people making out, or a guy approaching a girl and then, like, leaving the bar with her. So to show, hey, look, this guy met her and picked her up within 20 minutes. And then they would show that as in-field footage. And it was always the most awkward fucking thing to do. And I'm just so glad that they stopped doing it, because it was controversial. That was one of the controversial parts of the business.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I want to just quick touch back when you were on holiday in LA. Okay. You're on holiday where you had a job back in Australia and you just said, not coming home? Or how did you go
pretty
from
much
holiday to I'm going off on an adventure?
I was in retail. So I was a manager in a retail store. And, you know, they were like family to me. And I think they knew that I wanted something different and something new. So they were very supportive. But that was all I had back home. And I'd actually just signed with an acting agent when I was over there. So it was sort of like, it was a real crossroads. And I did not expect this as an opportunity. But yeah, now I love it. And I love running my coaching business. And I've learned so much doing it. So it happened for a reason, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it obviously did, because now you're on your own and have your own.
Well, I was going to say, when you're telling the story about joining all these guys that go out and do it, and I'm like, if I want a coach to teach me to date, I want a woman. Like, I'm sorry, but all us guys think we're doing it right. Like, it doesn't make any sense to get coaching from another dude. Like, so it seems like a natural fit.
Yeah. It's so funny, though, because that wasn't the response it's not the response that a lot of female coaches get when they come into that world. Because a lot of them, what's the one line I got over and over again when I first started? Never ask a fish how to fish. That was always the comment that they would say.
Okay.
They're like, don't listen to her. Like, because for some reason, there's this narrative or story that goes around in these communities where they feel like women, you know, don't know themselves, or they don't know how to coach. Only men know how to do that. The ones that have learned, like the ones that have conquered and become pickup coaches. Yeah. So it's, I understand what you're saying and I agree.
Success rate,
You need both perspectives, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah.
But as men, we have that. We talk to our buddies, you know, like, I don't need a male coach because I taught, you know,
I tell them what's working, what's not when we're drunk at, you know,
don't send midnight. That. Oh, wait, no, you're always send that dick pic. It'll work. Send that dick pic.
Send it.
Motherfucker.
I've never said don't send it.
Before we go any further, but how long before you send a dick pic? Let's just get it out of the way. How long before you send a dick pic?
Do you ever?
Three texts, right? Three texts?
Or I'm going to have to lock
or,
him in.
Or with the, hello, never. My name is, and then send it.
Never is the short response.
All right.
I don't know.
I think women, when they get dick pics, either they're shocked and they have to deal with that image for the rest of their life, or they laugh and show their girlfriends. So yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think guys that are sending dick pics are wanting to get something from it. Like the ones that send it to a woman who's completely off guard. If you're sexting with someone that you're dating, yeah. Cool. Like that's hot. That's naughty. You've developed that kind of connection. And if you're on the other sides of the world, it's like, you know, something yeah. that allows you both to connect. But if you're just sending random dick pics early on, it's just not going to end well.
Yeah, huh. It hasn't.
It didn't, did it? I'm sorry.
Are you both dating, or what's your relationship status?
I actually just got married for the third time a few weeks ago, so I'm really good. I'm really yeah. good at this relationship stuff.
And
I'm
really good. And at so it. Now I'm telling him stop sending the dick pics, randomly.
And I did. In case she's listening while I edit this, I did. No. Yeah. But I definitely had a history of sending inappropriate dick pics back in the day. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they didn't, I would push the send button. For
yes.
Them.
Yes. He did not help. So that's what friends are.
I usually waited for them to ask before I sent them.
Mm, that's a good strategy.
That's been my,
yeah,
my MO. I
well, who's been married three times and who's been married once? Okay.
Boom. He's got me beat.
Three is better. Hey, you would be an expert if this is your third time around.
Three is better than one. Before we move off that,
I know it's about relationships and not dating, but have you ever heard of Alain de Botton?
No.
He, if you want a healthy, sustainable marriage, he could be of interest. He's this, he's a philosopher, he's a writer, and I would say he's a comedian. I know he's not a comedian, but the way that he talks about love and modern romanticism and why you'll marry the wrong person is just fascinating. And there's this book called The Couple's Workbook.
Okay.
You get it for you and your wife, and it might take you a few years to work through it, but it's fucking phenomenal. It like a friend of mine and his partner have just completed it after 3 years, but The Couple's Workbook yeah. by The School of Life.
I will check it out.
Okay.
Before we go any further though, here's how I know you're 100% legit. I saw you on a podcast where you mentioned one of the most important things being a common sense of humor. And I have said that over and over again since I got divorced the last time. And now I'm married again to somebody who has a common sense of humor. And it's amazing how far that will take you. Because if you don't laugh at the same thing, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah. Humor is one of the greatest skills that you want to develop. And also when it comes to compatibility, because once everything fades away, the honeymoon season is over. If you guys don't make each other laugh and, you know, you can't enjoy each other's company, the relationship doesn't have a future.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is true.
Yeah.
I've always thought that. I don't know, always followed it, but wait, she has no sense of humor, but hot. I'll give it a try. Why not?
Who can blame you? That actually happened to my friend the other day. He went on a date. He's never left halfway through the date, but he did because she was so like, yeah, hot, just 10 out of 10
yeah.
of hotness. But then she was really did not laugh at his jokes. He's actually a comedian, right? So he had a sense of humor and he was making light of, you know, another group in the restaurant. And then she's like having a go at him, getting aggressive, like defensive, attacking him. And he was like, this is not good. And actually left. I could not believe it.
Wow.
So the hotness did not outweigh staying on that date for him. He was like, I'm out.
Wow.
Well, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. He's learning.
You're wishing you were there. You would have sat down and been like, how we doing?
Well, slide right in. He's got no sense of humor. We'll talk. So what did you feel you took from your last job to joining or creating your own dating coaching?
Look, I think I noticed some things that were really beneficial from the industry, and I noticed some gaps in what was being taught from a holistic approach. I felt like it's very gamified in the sense of conquering these different levels of tactics and going up to people, cold approaching people in the street that you've never met. There's some really great things to build your initial confidence. However, I noticed that a lot of these guys would get one night stands or they'd have short-term experiences, but the longevity and sustainability of their connections was not there. Sure. So I feel like in my coaching, I like to have an approach to think about the future and not just the short-term gratification of having a one-night stand. So how can you actually attract somebody and keep them and develop that relationship? Which is why, you know, I mentioned things like the School of Life that have things that work for couples, because dating begins when you get together. Dating doesn't finish, right? When you get married, that's when the fucking game starts. And a lot of men I meet, they go, oh, Sarah, I needed you 20 years ago before I met my wife. I went, you probably need me now. Because to sustain that, you've got to continue dating each other. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. So I think there's that one side of it. And then obviously the other side, I would say, is for the men that haven't had much exposure, very little experience. They actually do need to get out there and date the volume. So they need to date X amount of women to actually learn what they do and don't like, not just meet the first woman, get into a relationship and not actually know themselves or what they want, which I see happen a lot in the industry as well.
Oh, sure, sure.
Now, what if someone came to you and said, yeah, I want you to coach me, but I only want to be coached into one night stands. That's all I want. And you're 1,000%. And do you, so you have different courses for each long term or
rules? I usually, it's all similar skills that you need to develop, but the goal might change. So when people ask me, you know, what does success look like when you take on a client? It may be very different. It may be a client who's in his late 30s, early 40s, wants to find a long-term relationship and wants to start a family. That's very different to the guy coming out of Silicon Valley that has never kissed a woman in his life or never gotten past two dates with somebody. His success is going to look very different to someone else's because their goals are different. So I'll tailor it. But at the end of the day, the core foundational skills are all very similar across the board. It's just going to be, you know, varied depending on the individual and the skill set they're coming in with or where the starting point that we're at.
Yeah.
So with you, I get you were trained and you worked for the company for 2 years. And I guess I was thinking more of the other, you saw what they did, took what they did, but what was wrong about it? And then you added to it. Is that you personally adding into it or how do I sign up and say, yep, Sarah knows all about dating, as opposed to Phyllis, who has the same dating service down the street?
I think it comes down to who you connect with. If you resonate with me and go, yep, like I feel like she's speaking my language, I resonate with her, you know, the way she describes things, I connect with that. Whereas there'd be some people that don't resonate with me. That's fine. Like I know that my approach won't be for everybody. And that's the same in that space. There's lots of coaches out there. And you have to really reflect about what are my values? How do I approach dating and relationships? And yeah, if you're the kind of person who wants very unfulfilling experiences, I would say I'm not the person. You know, I've been in that world. I've seen it. I've experienced it firsthand. It's just not for me. And that's kind of like the real like quick fucks, I would probably say.
Yeah,
I'm all about a quick fuck, but it has to be a win-win and be like a high quality of experience for both people.
Sure.
So that's where my headspace is at. But yeah, you know, Phyllis down the street, you might prefer him over me, and that's fine.
Yeah. So let's get into some specifics. I've seen you post about the friend zone, and I know a lot of guys, you know, get stuck in the friend zone. They put a lot of time and effort into a woman that they think is, you know, who they're going to spend some time with, and they can never get past that. What are some of your tips for getting the fuck out of the friend zone and, you know?
Getting out of the friend zone. Whew. It actually starts with inner work for most guys. A lot of guys I notice that stay in the friend zone are very uncomfortable with flirting and talking about intimacy.
Okay.
And so in their interactions, they never go to that space. They never bring up that kind of stuff. It feels uncomfortable for them. And they'll talk about, like, they'll have small talk or talk about hobbies or talk about where they're from, and they'll avoid the very topics or the, you know, directions in on the date that will actually get them out of the friend zone.
Sure.
I think another thing I've noticed over the years is they don't bring that energy in from the beginning of the date. So you can make it like a woman know that this is not just two friends catching up. This is a date. And you can establish that by the energy that you bring in, by the way that you actually give her a hug or a kiss on the cheek. Yeah. And that has to come from you as the man. So if your energy's off and you're a bit awkward and like you don't know whether this is a date or friends, then that woman is going to follow your lead. So that's why I say it starts with you as the man and your own relationship with intimacy and making a date friendly or romantic.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I'm hearing is send a dick pic.
You know what? That's like, to me, that's like the guy, yeah, who hasn't learned. He's like trying to do something. He's like, I want this woman to know that this is not friendly, but they're so far off the mark because the greatest skill for men to learn is like subtlety with how they bring up explicit things.
Yeah. I'll remind you, I've been married 3 times, okay? I'm very good at this. Next.
Sorry. Yep.
These episodes need to be called Dick Pick, you know?
Perfect. Perfect. We've had about 4 episodes called that.
Another one.
I'm just going to say don't open any texts from them. That's all I'm going to put out there.
That was not for me. That was from my wife. And it was an accident.
Yeah, his wife sent me a dick pic once by accident of him.
Oh, of his dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were out, we were somewhere away, and I'm like, hey, send me pictures from the weekend. And then she started sending them, and all of a sudden she's like, delete that. And I'm like, what? Oh, okay. Thanks.
What would you rate it out of 10?
Ooh.
Well, my retinas were burned for a while.
I'll tell you what, you'll be able to rate it higher soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete Shotoy. No, just kidding.
Shameless plug.
So we've done it once, but Pete Shotoy sent us some penis pumps, not to change the subject, to try out and then, of course, see if we recommend them. So we just got them today and we're...
As soon as this episode's over.
We're doing it right now.
Have you actually tested them yet or not?
I have.
No.
I've tested mine, yeah.
Feel funny? Like, what's it like?
It feels like a lot of suction. It feels like you're getting a blowjob from the world's strongest vacuum cleaner.
Like a vacuum cleaner.
So it's not necessarily like a pleasurable experience.
Right.
You're not gonna orgasm from it or but
for one, I continue doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had penis pumps months ago that we tested as well for a different company.
Yeah.
Which was a different style.
Yeah.
So yeah, everything you said is correct. It was just
so for example, you wouldn't bring that into foreplay with your wife, right?
I mean, you could.
You can, but
you can.
I'm just gonna say this one thing, as opposed to then we can if you enjoy dick pics or not. But if you imagine a clear tube and then your penis kind of being expanded like a balloon within the tube to say, hey honey, how do you like this? And then pull it off.
Hey,
it could be somebody's kink.
Yeah. I think you could make that a thing.
I have no idea what just happened.
Where do I buy one? My goodness, I need one.
Peep Show Toys. Did you hear that thunder one?
So we associate ourselves with sex toys and whatnot. We'll test them out. They send us things. Do you have a go-to sex toy or what is your favorite?
Look, I love the traditional vibrator, to be honest with you. Yeah. I cannot go past that. That's my favorite. Honestly, a little bullet vibrator you can put in your handbag.
Yeah.
I swear, they're so simple, but they are the best thing I've found as a woman with self-pleasure or pleasure with a partner. And you can just take it anywhere you go.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Is a bad hard thing about being a dude. We can't really pack our sex toys. There's no way they're big instruments. Like there's nothing small. So yeah.
Well, there is.
Yeah, well, but that's why they need to. If you are, you need to buy yourself.
You can take a little bullet with you, you know.
All right.
So, at what point in your course, do you talk about advice with sex or?
Week two of my course, we cover self-pleasure as a man, and I partner with a man called Cam Fraser, who you should definitely get on the podcast. And he's a sex coach for men, and he has a holistic approach. And I haven't found anyone else that I've connected with as much as him. So I always refer my clients onto him for anything that they want to delve into further. He actually has a course called How to Fuck Like a Porn Star, I believe, something like that.
He's
awesome. Look him
okay.
up.
You've heard of him.
I've heard that. I've heard of that course or a book or something, How to Fuck Like a Porn Star. I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, but Cam Fraser.
Don't quote me. I can't guarantee who it was from, but I remember seeing that.
He's here in Queensland, in Australia. Definitely. I'll put it on Instagram. Yeah, so I interview him for my course, and then there's course content in week two about how to actually explore your self-pleasure as a man, how to understand your relationship with sex. Because, you know, when you hit puberty, we all go through it in our own way, but sometimes as an adult, you forget, like, you haven't really developed that part of yourself beyond, you know, whatever you stumble across as you go into becoming a teenager and into young adulthood. So it's worth, I think, every man and every woman doing some sort of course to understand their self-pleasure, intimacy, and sex.
Yeah.
True.
Interesting. Okay.
So at what point do you teach on dates to bring up weird kinks? Or is that not really a thing?
I feel like you're asking this for a reason. Is this a personal question?
I'm just thinking in my head.
Yeah, I might be learning something tonight too. Let's go.
I'll tell you where I came from.
I want to know what your kink is.
Penis
what,
pumps.
What classifies as a weird kink that you would want to bring up on a date?
Well, I here's why I thought of it, and then we can get back to the kink. Is I remember hearing you say, you know, about you got to bring things up right away, so you're not wasting your time. So even about your humor. You know, and where you want to go. Hey, tonight I'm looking for a one night thing, or I want a long term. So you bring that up right away, or at what point, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out as I am in the dating kind of world right now. And then, when can I bring up my fetishes and kinks and stuff?
Well, this is where it becomes really important to be able to read a woman. Because there's some women that are going to feel comfortable with stuff like that very early on. And there's going to be women that it may take months of dating and sometimes years to bring in certain kinks, right? Yeah. So it's case by case. It's woman by woman. And the skill that's required as the man is to be able to read them and take risks with what you bring up to see how they respond. So it might not mean that you bring up your personal kink, but it might mean that you bring up the kink in general and then see how she responds to that. If she's like, what the fuck? I think people that do that are so messed up. I find it disgusting. You'll have your answer without putting yourself on the line, if that makes sense.
It does.
So it's about gathering information. Yeah, in a way that, again, it's not direct, but some people like the direct approach. You know, you just lay it out on the table and go, here you go. Are you into that or not?
right.
Are you willing to try?
Yes, you have an open mind, and that's all you can do. But you've got to be able to, I think, take risks at appropriate times by reading the situation and reading the woman.
And I think the best thing is if she brings it up first, then you know.
Then you know for sure. Unless she's no. So what are some of the most common flirting mistakes that we're all making? I remember one
Not
night.
Flirting.
I remember oh. one night I was at a bar with him. And I started hitting on a woman who I thought looked like a particular actress. And I continued to tell her that. And eventually she got really sick of it and left. So that wasn't good flirting.
And she's from Australia.
Zoe Bell is from Australia. Yes. Yeah.
The actress.
Yeah.
Zoe Bell. Yeah. Woman actress Zoe Bell.
I don't know her off the top of my head, but.
Okay. But I think she is from Australia.
I mean, this woman wasn't Zoe Bell. She just looked like it. And anyway. As I said, I kept reminding her of that, and eventually she got really tired of it, and that wasn't good anymore. So obviously, I'm not very skilled at flirting, and I still need to know how to flirt because I like to have sex. So, what's the biggest mistakes in flirting?
Well, I think what you're describing is an interesting one because you did well at the beginning. If you did that once and you didn't keep going back to it, then she may have been more interested and wouldn't get frustrated. But if you keep bringing it up,
I could imagine what she's going through, and I'd be like, okay, buddy, like you fucking said it 10 times, right? So it's just frustration. It's not that you were doing something necessarily bad or being a bad flirt, but it was just you had nothing else in your repertoire. You were just like, you look like this chick. And then where else are we? Yes, you've said that. Now, where else are we going? Lead me somewhere else.
She's pretty.
Pretty.
I know, Sarah, that's all I had. Okay. That's why I went home alone that night. All right. I get it.
It was so much fun to watch, though, unfold. It was so much fun.
I want to tell you, not only did I keep telling her that, I told her that from across the bar at one point. I got loud with it. So.
It honestly reminds me of Crazy Stupid Love, where what's his name keeps saying, my wife fucked someone. Like, what? Have you seen that movie?
I know what you're talking about, but yeah, I can't think of it.
You fucked David Copperfield. I don't know what he was saying. I forgot the name. But it was just like he went to the bar every night and was just like saying it to whoever was across the bar and just like repeating it.
I think that's what we call a one-trick pony. I'm a one-trick pony. That's all I had.
Now, did that...
I think one of the biggest things I see is that the lack of men flirting at all because they don't want to be a creep. So that's the first hurdle I notice. Like, these are men that want to be respectful. They don't want to be known or seen or embarrassed and be that guy that's the creep. So they don't do anything at all.
Yeah.
So
and it's harder now. It's harder now than it was.
Very hard now. Yeah.
You know,
we couldn't, the stuff we did.
Yeah. You could just walk up and say, you look beautiful. Can I buy you? Now you don't even know if you can do that anymore.
Yeah.
You can still do it.
Yeah.
So how do we do it? How do we do it respectively?
Yes. Well, it starts with you. Like, if you have the mindset that you can't do that anymore, times have changed, you won't do it. And you will be focusing on finding evidence that backs up your narrative is, I cannot say that. It's disrespectful. If you are somebody who knows your intention is there's no malice, there's no like ill intent, there's no, I just want to get this woman naked in my bed, right? And this is why you got to work on it, right? You have to have the intention that's to be playful, have fun, to connect with this person, even if there is nothing that follows. And that's what flirting, look, to me, I think flirting is such an incredible thing, even outside of the dating world. The ability to actually notice something desirable in another human being is all that you're doing. And as soon as you realize that, you're actually giving somebody the greatest fucking gift on this planet is to go, do you know what? There's something likable about you. There's something desirable about you. And I'm sharing that with you. And we all think, yeah, okay, you're hot, you're beautiful. But it runs so much deeper than that. That's why, to me, flirting is a way of communicating. And you can still flirt with your friends, right? Pay them a compliment or be like, you know what? You're really fucking great at what you do. Or I love the way your beard, you know, look how sexy your beard styled today. And that's, your glasses.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but
there's
go ahead.
No, but there's the clip. That's how this thing's hitting.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Or she went for the beard, not the dimples.
Weird. I know. I'm sorry. But I did notice the dimples. I do like the dimples.
That's okay. He's all right. He's fine. Let's keep talking about me.
Yeah. But so, you know, coming full circle, talking about flirting, it's not just, yeah, like if you can integrate flirting into the way that you communicate, just like your sense of humor, you'll start to realize that it feels a lot more comfortable when you see a beautiful woman that you can just switch it on instead of like it being like, oh fuck, I have to like change the way I am as a guy. Cause I think it's where they get tricked up and they've got nothing in their repertoire. Like your example, where you're like, you look like so-and-so and so the normalization of talking about intimacy, I think is a really great gateway for guys to get better at flirting. The next thing that you need in the repertoire is eye contact, being comfortable with it. A lot of guys get super like shifty and uncomfortable as soon as a woman is like giving them that full eye contact. Yeah. Then the third thing is silences. Men that aren't comfortable with it, they just implode and they get so like just rattled.
And you have to just say something to break the silence.
When that is flirting, that's when, so intentional silences is such a great way to build chemistry with a woman. For you to be comfortable in that and not fidgety or want to get out of it, it's like, oh, fuck. Like that gives a woman this whole experience with you. And I see, because I do virtual dates, so like part of the training that you do when you do the course with me is you jump on, you get paired with a woman from my team, you go on a virtual date, and then I look at the recording and see what you're doing well, what you're not doing so well. And so over the years of watching these, they're the three things that come up is like the lack of flirting and just staying in small talk territory, avoiding compliments or like when someone compliments you, the silences, and then the eye contact.
Eye contact is very powerful. And I just relate that to like even during sex. Eye contact can, I mean, it's very powerful. That's some of the best sex is when you can just look at each other and enjoy it. But then
kissing and then eye contact for foreplay, it makes it really enjoyable for both parties. You know, it's so important.
But that is hard to overcome when you're just sitting at a bar talking with someone. It can be.
Yeah, definitely.
So I should have called her Zoe Bell, stared at her, and been silent for like 20 minutes.
In bed with her before you knew her.
I'm learning. No, take her course, guys. That's not what she's saying. I'm just
absolutely don't listen to this guy. He doesn't got it.
Remember, it's not about what you do, it's how you do it. So if you do it like that, you probably won't get the result. But if you do it in a different way, what you're saying is wrong.
I wish I had been good at it when I had my single days. It would have been so much more fun. You know?
Right. But how many people are out there in the same boat?
I don't know.
Both of us, you know, you're just, yeah. So
how many people are naturally good at it?
So where can they, before we forget, where can they go to your course? Where can they take it? And what does it entail?
Yeah, okay. So you can find me on Instagram, Dating with Sarah Official. And there is a link in the bio that'll take you to a couple of free resources and also the link to apply for the dating course. So it includes an 8-week online course, which is quite intensive, as we were discussing some of the modules earlier. And then you do what are called virtual dates, which I touched on as well. So it's a way to actually train your dating skills and your communication skills, your flirting skills. And that goes for 3 months. So you do 3 months of coaching. That's my major course that you take. And I'm there tailoring it with you as well. So you go through everything, you know, from style, how you style yourself, how you communicate, how you get results on dating apps. So it really encompasses everything. It's a full transformation. The other option for guys that have never done anything like this is the intro offer, where you just do one consult with me. We make a game plan together. And then you do one virtual date with one of the girls on my team. So you get a full review of all of your blind spots, which I find a lot of guys really love to do.
And that's what I'm going to sign him up for. And then you're going to come back and tell the world just how terrible he is at dating.
I would love to do that. I think we need to set that up. Love it, love it, love it. Yes, this is happening.
I like it.
All right.
You're in the dating world. I want this so bad.
Oh, you have to do it. What a beautiful gift. You can gift your best friend the opportunity to do a virtual date.
And I can write it off as a business expense. It's a win-win. I don't know how the tax laws work over there in Australia, but we like to spend money on shit like that.
Well, what's the most important part?
The money.
That I could find. Yeah. No love.
The embarrassment that you're going to suffer is the most important.
That's the important part. Yeah.
I think the most important part for you is to find a kink partner. That's fine.
There you go.
No, we need to critique this and see what we can get out of it. All right, we're gearing up.
I want to know what your opinions
and
are.
And this
go ahead.
Which I downloaded.
I love it.
Your secrets to landing the dream girl. With confidence. So you can download this, as she was talking about, from the link in Instagram.
Wait, is there an age limit on your course? Because he's old. Is there an age limit?
Hey, we are not ageist at Dating with Sarah.
Thank you.
And he's like a spring chick. Look at him. How old are you?
Yeah, that's a no.
Wait, his oldest child is older than you. So let's just, that's how old he is. All right.
48?
Oh, bless you. I'll be 57 in a little bit.
What? That's wild. You have such like a youthfulness. I mean, both of you do though. Like look at
the younger.
Way you dress and your sense of humor, like honestly. I mean, I think age is a really interesting thing in dating. Like I recently went to an event that I hosted where they had all the different age groups, you know, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s. And it was just so fascinating because Like, yes, you can date within your age pool, but like sometimes you meet somebody and yeah, they might be a lot younger than you, but you have a really great connection. So yeah. I think you don't want to always limit yourself with what's possible or who your perfect match might be. It might not be someone that you think it is. So
yeah, absolutely.
And that's for someone who's dated a lot older than myself. It's and a lot of my friends are like 20, 30 years older than me as well. So yeah, I bet in your mind, you don't feel 56.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Doesn't act like it either.
No, and I don't act like it. No.
I've already worked that out, and we've only had a short interaction.
Yeah, definitely.
So when we go into this course, and I say, yeah, okay, I like what you just said. Hook me up with some 20-year-olds. Is that creepy?
Yes.
Well, when you say it like that, it kind of sounds creepy. You're like, just line them up. Like, you know, that sounds a little messed up.
Okay, I did. I wanted it to sound creepy, not that creepy. How do I get around the creepiness?
You might meet somebody who is younger than you, and navigating that is a whole nother conversation and going, okay, you know, what am I comfortable with? What am I not? Because, you know, for people that have existing families, like, you know, even with one of my partners, you know, we had a 20-year age gap. So yeah, I'm probably closer to one of his daughters than I am to him.
Yeah.
So they are actual things that you have to navigate when you are dating somebody who has a large age difference, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's an interesting topic.
All right. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe
this is going to happen. So I want to hear from the expert, because back in the day when I was single and trying the dating apps, I want to hear you, not being the expert, talk about just how shitty dating apps are.
Yeah, they are shitty. I agree with you. I'm a dating coach, and I think most dating apps are pretty shitty. So,
thank you. Yeah.
So there isn't any out there that you would recommend, or you got to pay for what you get?
Well, look, I think for some of the big players in that industry, they have gone down this avenue where they are looking to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality. A lot of them resemble gambling apps, you know, like it is addictive. I've seen a lot of men become addicted to trying to get results on dating apps. And I always say to my guys, like, do not put all your eggs in one basket. Do not feel that your results that you're getting on dating apps are a clear evaluation of where you're at and your desirability, because it's just not true. Yeah. You call me traditional, like you go out and meet people in real life. But of course, market yourself on dating apps and on social media, because that is also a really powerful asset that you have. I think a lot of men just don't know how to market their dating avatar, if you will, on dating apps, because you literally have 3 to 5 seconds to get somebody to swipe on you. And so it's all about how you show yourself in a photo. So in my course, we focus on getting great photos of yourself. And most guys say, I don't take photos, Sarah. I hate having my photo taken. Well, tough love, baby. If you want to market yourself and be in the digital world of dating, you have to do that, and you have to get good at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sacrifice a few pictures to get laid. It's worth it. You know.
It is. Yeah. And do you know what? You actually learn a lot. You build your confidence when you learn how to take a great photo of yourself. Because I think every guy can take a great photo of themselves, and women as well. Like women's photos on dating apps. I know men often cop, you know, all of the, you know, harsh criticism.
Yes.
A lot of women, their photos suck too. They're not up to date. They have filters on them. They're crap. You know, the quality of photos needs to be upgraded across the board of all dating apps, because that's still the major thing that hooks people in.
Yeah.
So what were the number one place for me to go? Dating app, bars, or where, if I wanted to meet?
I would say, I mean, the number one places is places that, you know, in your lifestyle, like if you're going to, let's say if you're a healthy person, going to different seminars or fitness things or communities that value that. So you're going to meet women that also have those same values and that same way of living. So you think about your lifestyle and how can you actually set it up so that you're in communities or you're doing jobs or charities or something where you're in close proximity with those kinds of women that you would see yourself dating. If you want to find a kink buddy, I mean, being a part of the kink community or like talking to people or going to different events, you're going to find people that have those same hobbies or same values. So that's what you need to do with lifestyle. But lots of people meet their girlfriends, their future wives, husbands on dating apps. So don't like completely boycott it, but just be intentional with how you use it.
All right. Well, and I was going to say, I've already given up on work because I've already been married and divorced some girl I worked with.
A lot of people meet their partners at work, though. It's and another, thing.
I've dated a few from work. It's not.
You spend so much time with them at work. It's just,
yeah. Well, and so there's your answer. It's the proximity. And that's why most people, if all they do is go to work and then they go home, or they go to work and go to the gym and that's it, they're going to notice the people at work. They're going to build their relationships with people at work. And it just makes logical sense. So if you apply that same thing to different communities and put the same level of effort you do into working, rocking up to your job, you'll meet people. And it's what you do when you meet people. What happens when you have the opportunity? Do you talk to them or do you let it go? It really comes down to that.
Yeah.
That's the biggest, you know, when you're in a strange environment or strangers, and just to be able to approach them. I think that's the biggest.
Yeah, well, for sure.
That's a hurdle for me.
I was going to say, your course, I mean, it's focused on dating, but your course could also very easily be taught for business and business relationships. And, you know, I mean, us as podcasters trying to market to potential people that want to promote to us, it's all in that confidence realm. And if you don't have it, you're not going to get dates. You're not going to get jobs. You're not going to. So, I mean, you can pretty quickly adapt what you're teaching to a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I think that the common, I guess the way that you can translate a lot of this dating and sales, like sales and marketing, there's actually so many similarities. And being someone who's, you know, I work in marketing now and I work in sales, I've worked in sales for years. It's all the same kind of stuff. So it's translational. Like the work that you do in your dating and your building of your personal brand is the same as, let's say, building your business brand or your podcast brand, and then networking. So it really comes down to your ability to do that. And, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of my clients, they've built so much success in their business and in like other areas of their life, but they haven't translated that into their dating life. So I still just find it really fascinating, but you're spot on. You can definitely apply what you learn with building connection and relationships to every part of your life, which is why I love it.
Yeah. Well, I think for some people, obviously it's easier to have that confidence with a business associate than it is to have it with an attractive female and an attractive male, you know, like it's a little different, a little more pressure on you when you're trying to do that. But
Well, I think about, like you're saying, the in business and work and flirting and eye contact and silence with somebody you work with, to have that eye contact and silence can be awkward at times. And you have that eye contact and you're like, no, I'm not trying to flirt with you. I'm not trying to sleep with you, but that's where I struggle too with work.
Wait, you think everybody you stare at thinks you want to sleep with them?
Yeah, I do. They're wrong.
No,
I think that's really confident. You should know that you're a desirable man. I like the way that, and look at the way he just answered you. Did not flinch.
Yeah, right.
Pure composure right there.
Right.
There you go.
Please don't encourage it.
Look, with work, you have to have boundaries in place. And
you do.
You have to, you know, you could engage in flirting, but you never follow through with it. And that's like, you enforce the boundaries, you know.
Oh,
and
then there's my mistake. Not follow through. There's my mistake. All right.
Don't follow through with it. But also the way that you flirt, there'd be certain things that you just would never say, you know, otherwise you'll be having a meeting with the HR people and probably lose your job. Yeah. So there's boundaries that you have to go, hey, we can be cheeky, we can have fun, but let's not cross that boundary.
See, I'm learning.
Yeah.
Little by little.
So before we let you go, let's talk about some other personal thing. Or do you have more on the dating stuff?
No, I want to get into personal.
Because I want to talk about acting. You've done some acting, and you were in. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see Inner Demons because we're both big horror movie fans.
I love it.
Yeah, how was the acting experience, and will you be doing more?
And can we please say that you were the winner of the Best Actress that year in 2014?
I was.
There you go.
A Nightmare of Horror International Film Festival winner, nice. Right there. I saw the trailer. Nice. I do want to see the movie.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. It was the first feature film I'd ever done. So I learned so much being on set and working with Ursula Dabrowski, who's Canadian. And it was just really cool for me. It was really challenging because it was very emotional for me. like just the whole time pretty much just being distraught and upset and like running away from these serial killers. So in that sense, it was pretty psychologically draining. I remember, you know, we would always be shooting at like 2 a.m 3 a.m 4 a.m at night, so it was like, whoa. My sleep patterns were really messed up after, but I loved it. And I also loved the business of film, learning about that, going to these international film festivals and realizing that it's so much more. Like as an actress, you kind of go in, you do your job, you perform and you get out. But the reality is, you know, there's so much more to the business of film, especially, you know, films that you're doing to go into film festivals that might not be like that Hollywood scale, but they're like that mid-range budget. It's like, it's a business and you have to be good at networking. And that's what I think Sitges in Spain, which is an international film festival. The whole time I was just networking, meeting different writers, directors, producers, different actors, and just going around having meetings. And you see that on the high level. That's all they're doing is getting together and having all their meetings in between the screenings and interviews and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. It's a very cool experience.
Plans for a future acting, or are you too busy?
I actually just hired a new acting coach, which I'm really excited about. So yes, I've still been acting the whole way through, like doing commercials, which I just shot one recently for an Australian tourism commercial. But yeah, I've always loved it, and it really helps with me the work I do as a dating coach.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I kind of bring what I learn in that area and bring it in. And I actually recommend to my clients as well to go and do acting classes, improv classes, because it builds your confidence in your ability or range of how you express when you're out there in the world. So it helps me in both industries.
Were you
tap into something as you're talking to the ladies, be able to just tap into something and say the right things?
Were you born confident? Have you always had the, or did you need a little bit of a course at one point in your life? I mean, not an actual course, but was there something that one day you were like, oh, I'm confident now?
It's interesting. My dad's really charismatic, so I feel like I watched him growing up and the way he would behave. And I learned a lot from his charisma. And then I learned a lot from trial and error, like through school. I remember kind of not fitting in, you know, in one group. And that actually, I think, served me well because it taught me how to be adaptable. It taught me how to connect with all types of people. And so I feel like that was great benefit to my development. And then even with my siblings, I feel like we always were very creative and playful in terms of like our communication, you know, funny, always joking around and always putting on accents and stuff. And so expressing myself has always been a part of my life. And I think that ability to not give a fuck about embarrassment has helped me tremendously because I can, let's say, use a self-deprecating humor, which is such a great way to connect with people. Yeah. And it disarms them and gives them permission to be themselves. So I think that's one of the greatest skills that I've had throughout, you know, as long as I can remember. And then I've built other skills and added things over the years of, you know, working professionally and going on dates and being in relationships and picking up things along the way.
Yeah, sure.
Do you ever get into character before you do some coaching? Or is it character? All you? Like make up a character to be when you're teaching a class or something.
Look, I think we all have those hats that we wear, right? Like we are all playing a character. I actually did a podcast the other week and I said, I think one of the hardest characters to play is ourselves.
Yeah.
It can be really difficult to express ourselves. So we have like these different personas or characteristics that we use in order to avoid being vulnerable, for example, like really showing a side of ourselves that we don't know how people are going to take. So I definitely have a coaching persona when I am talking to a client. I have a dating persona. If I go on a date with a guy, I'm not in coach mode. Like there's just none of that. I'm very playful. I'm very flirty. I'm very feminine. But when I'm coaching with men, I am quite masculine and direct and to the point because that's what they need.
That's what they need, right?
Yeah, you need that. I think when you're a man learning from a woman, it's like, oh, shit, like, you need her to speak your language to learn things as well. Yeah. So
right to the point. You got to get right to the point for guys. We just want to know this is what you need to do. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, and can give them a friendly kick up the ass if they're not doing it, like, yes, hold them accountable and being like, hey, you haven't taken those photos for 2 weeks. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that. You know, what are you avoiding? Why are you avoiding it? Let's unpack that. But on the dates, I'm like a little giddy princess.
Perfect.
I have one last question I have to ask. So if you're not, if you're done.
Well, I need to touch on, and I don't know how much, how long of an experience you had, but I see that you're on Danger 5. The TV show?
I wasn't. That's actually a discrepancy. I don't know why that's on my IMDb. I don't know why it's on there.
Okay.
So I think someone mistook me and now it's just there. And so I wasn't on there. I'm sorry to let you down.
That's all right. That's one of the craziest shows and I'm like, what was it like to be on? Okay, well, we'll just avoid it.
But you were on the SAS Australian Hell Week.
Yes.
And you did very well.
I did.
Yeah. How was that experience? I mean, what did they have you doing? We have something similar here in the States now where they're making them jump out of helicopters and all this. Is it kind of the same thing?
Oh,
it's the same guys that do the one in the US. Oh. Like, I think slightly different site, like a DS, like different people.
Yep.
But they started in the UK and then they have the Australian one and they have the one in the US. But okay. It's all similar. So it's all taken off like military ex-special force. So to get into the special forces, you have to go through this, you know, grueling training over, I think, 8 months. Like different countries have different amounts of time they have to go through. But the reality show is based on taking parts of that. And the season that I was on was called Hell Week. Hell Week is a part of every SAS training where pretty much they just try and destroy you until you tap out.
Yeah.
So it's just like relentless for 7 days.
And how many times did you want to tap out but said, fuck it, I'm going to make it through? Because you did.
Yeah, look, there was quite a few times mentally where you start to want to tap out. But I've always been really competitive. I've played sport my whole life. So I think that really just got activated. And I you just don't want to give up. Like once you're, you know, so far into it, you're just like, nah, you know, keep going, keep going, keep going. But it was really hard, like really, really grueling at times. And you were always uncomfortable. You were wet. You're like, your socks were always wet. You had blisters all over your feet. You're always in some kind of pain. And you had to get comfortable with that. And that was one of the biggest lessons.
I wouldn't have made it an hour.
Yeah. No.
You know how you said jumping out of helicopters? Like that was the one thing I was most afraid of, is the exercise where you have to fall backwards off of either out of a helicopter or from like 20 meters high or something, you know? And that was the very first thing that we had to do on day one.
Okay.
And I was just like, oh, why?
Straight into the water. Jesus Christ.
Day one. That was, they were like, this, let's trim the fat right now. If you don't do it.
Yeah. They actually, we were in a bus. Then they stopped us in a helicopter, the ex-special forces guys. They came down on ropes. They ripped us out of the bus, slammed us onto the bitumen on the road, then drove us for 2 hours to some reservoir, like old volcano with water in it. And then you get shipped out onto this crane thing. And then you literally can't see anything until the moment where Ant Middleton rips off your hood. Mm. And then all you can see is him and water, and you're up really high, and he just looks at you and he goes, listen to these clear instructions, right? Listen to these basic instructions. Put your arms like this, stay completely straight. Do not jump back, fall back, go.
Oh,
that's it. And you just gotta go, boom.
Holy shit.
And did you hesitate at all, or just said, fuck it and go?
I just went, fuck it, I'm going. But okay. While I was in the air, right? Like, you're like falling, and I'm like, you know, I slightly flinched at the end, and that's when, you know, when people make a splash is if they don't stay completely straight. So that's one thing. Like you won't hurt yourself if you do it correctly, but it will hurt if you like move your body. So that's why they say stay like stiff as a board, completely straight, and just fall back.
Oh, fuck.
Into water.
Into water. Yeah.
Well, better than into concrete.
No, I was thinking. In my head, jumping out of a helicopter, you got a parachute or something like that. This is just falling back into water. Wow. Yeah,
on the final day, we had like a full military kit on and our like a whole big rucksack, and we had to jump out of a helicopter into water and then wade ourselves to the edge and then go on like this mission to rescue some hostages. So like the whole course, it was sort of like developing you to a point where you could do a full mission. And that was one of the last things that we did. And there was four of us that completed our course. And then there was two of us that actually were chosen or won the show, which was myself and James, who's a professional dancer from Paris. So it was pretty awesome.
Damn.
Look at that.
That's awesome.
I feel very proud because to go, it's kind of like Tony Robbins on steroids being taught by those guys. Like, they're amazing. It's like self-development. Yeah. In a completely different level.
Well, you 100% should be proud of that, because I know there's any of my friends would never make it through. I wouldn't make it through. So
I mean,
there's tons that wouldn't even make it through the first couple of days. Yeah. So that's amazing. Good for you.
So I got a good way to wrap this up now. What was harder, that or not saying Australia's favorite word and one of my favorite words for this whole interview? Because I know you guys love to say the word cunt. So are you a user of cunt, and was it hard not to say it?
It was not hard for me to not say, because I do not use that word. I was taught by my parents that that was a bad word.
Oh, I thought that was just like
what? No. I know they like it, but
yeah. There's certain regions in Australia or certain kinds of people that enjoy the word.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those.
But it's in a playful way. Well, it's a mean playful way that they use it.
I don't know. I've always heard that they do. I mean, that's what they call their buddies. Like,
well, again, I think that's kind of the person. I don't even think I can say it. Like
the Bergens.
I think a lot of men, like men to men, will use that, but not a lot of.
Not your audience, but okay. One of the greatest endings. The TV show The Boys. I think it was season one. At the end, one of the main characters found out he had a son, and he was like silence and this life lessons. And he was like rugged guy. What am I doing? He goes to his son, "Don't be a cunt," and walked away. That was his words of wisdom to him. Because he was from Australia.
You talking about Chris Lilly? Is that?
No. It was called The Boys. It's like what the superheroes on Amazon.
Yeah, I think you guys would like guy called Chris Lilly. He does a lot of Australian humor like that, and there's a character he plays where he uses all this language and it's really funny. I think Chris Lilly, he did Chris Chris Lilly. Yeah, I think I'm saying the right one. I hope I am. I'll send it to you, but
yeah, he does for sure
hilarious sketches by using that word. Yeah. Chris Lilly.
All right, so that was easier than the okay.
Well, then, all right. Hey, on that note, have a great day.
I like the word. What do you want me to say? Again, three times. Australia. Three times I've been married.
Don't call her up. So, anyways, let's tell everyone where they can find you, where they can see you, and all that good stuff. Promote. Yep.
Like I said before, Instagram is probably the platform I use the most. So Dating with Sarah Official. Also on, you can find me on LinkedIn. And you can email me. Feel free to email me at sarah@sarahgivons.com. And happy to connect with you and answer any of your dating questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is obviously.
She says her last name a lot better than you.
Well, I would assume it's her last name.
Say it one more time. I like the way you say it.
Sarah Chavons. God damn it. Oh, all right. God. I'm blushing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was fun. And we definitely will do this again after we make this guy go through your virtual course.
That's going to be so good. I imagine we can just do the full podcast episode on the breakdown of how he went. That will be so great.
1,000%.
And we'll bring up
snippets
of the video so we can like pause it and play it back and really, really uncover those blind spots.
I love it.
For that one, you'll want a notebook and you'll be like, I don't even know where to begin with this guy. I have no idea where to start with him.
Oh, I'm going to be extra attentive when I'm watching your virtual date.
I like it.
All right.
May I coach as well? Just a little,
No.
Okay. All right. Of course. Well, you have it. I was going to say good night, but you have a good day.
Yeah. Great. Right. Right.
I will. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, this is awesome. And this is obviously a topic that our audience, being particularly men, based on our guests, will really appreciate and one that they need. So
let's hope so. So you all you guys out there, don't be a cunt and go take a course.
Thank you. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big hole.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.